All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy 4th of July weekend. Yeah, all right, I got a little dressed up for the weekend. I thought that'd be okay, you know. Pulled out my only red, white, and blue tie. So, but hey, I'm Pastor Coley, and if this is your first time here with us, you will not know that I'm not the normal speaker on the weekends. Pastor Tom is away, and he's getting ready to go to a trip to Africa, so we are praying for that and praying for him. But if you are here for the first time, I want you to know that I'm not the normal guy. So I'm one of the pastors on staff here. My responsibilities include small groups and assimilation of new visitors. So if you are a new visitor, I'd love to meet you after the service. I am excited about this message this weekend. We had a great time last night. How many were here last night at the concert and the picnic on the back lawn? Anybody here? Was anybody here last night? Yeah, a few hands. Okay, all right, good. Well, it was a great time. We had about 240-ish people, as best we could count. You know, it's hard to count kids that are running around the playground, but we tried. We're good Baptists. So we tried to get a good count on there for, you know, to let you guys know how that's going. So anyway, I'm excited about the message we have. I will be sharing one verse from the book of James, so we'll be continuing that, sort of. And then I'm going to share some things that are just on my heart that are going on in our culture. I feel like it's a little bit of an elephant in the room, and just some things that I feel like we need to be aware of and then proactively doing as we follow the Lord during these days. So let me pray real quick. Father, I thank you for this chance to speak to my brothers and sisters. I thank you for this opportunity to share something you've laid on my heart. I pray, God, that it indeed would be based on your word, that it would be grounded solidly on who you are, and that your spirit would be communicating through me as I speak. Lord, I pray that your spirit is also at work in the hearts of those in this room. That's what we want to see happen. We want to see you at work transforming lives, just like what Paul talked about a minute ago, just transforming people's lives. We love that that's your work. We love that that's your story, and we want to jump in that. So, Father, bless us, your people, as we study your word this morning. In Christ's name, amen. All right. Have you ever had a friendship that you look back on later and you think, what was I thinking? Man, why did I hang out with that friend? Now, I heard a couple little, I heard some of that out there, so that's good. I had a friendship that developed when I was about 15 years old. And this friendship was not a good one. And this friendship put me at odds with a very dear woman in my life, my mother. You see, this friendship put me and my mom on opposite sides of what became a little bit of a battle. You see, at 15 years old, I was very naive. I was just not wise to how the world works as far as romance goes, I'll say that. And I was a freshman in high school. Now, something happened in my high school, and we had a little bit of a talent show every year. And so in the spring of my freshman year, I was in this talent show. And so I did a little talent, you know, I don't really have much talent, but other than that, you know, so anyway, I got in this show and did something, I forget what, sort of, I'm not going to tell you, so. I didn't mean to lie, I don't really forget what I did, I know what I did, but I'm not telling you. All right, so I was in this little talent show in the spring of my freshman year, so I'm almost a sophomore, I mean, technically I'm a sophomore, right? Well, this senior young lady, who's in the spring of her senior year, so she's getting ready to graduate, she took notice of me in this talent show. When I was a 15-year-old boy, I thought that was awesome. Oh, that was great. This senior young lady, you know, take notice of me. Oh, wow, this is great for a senior guy, you know, or a freshman guy. Oh, Mama Maul didn't think so. This young lady wanted to date me. I didn't even know what dating was. I mean, I was 15. I was naive. I was like, dating, what is, you know. I still said go together, and my dad would say, where are you going? I said, I don't know. We're just talking on the phone. You know, the phones with cords. I'd stand in the kitchen and talk. Yeah, I'm that old. Okay. So my mother said, no way. You are not getting in a car going on a date with this senior young lady. praise God for my mother. Okay, I'll just say that. That's wisdom right there. So the only thing she would allow this young lady to do was come over to my house, and she, you know, we would sit out in the driveway and talk. And it put me at odds with my mom. This friendship that was not going to be good for me put me at odds with my mom. Now look at what James 4 says. In James 4, I will click on here. Sorry, I forgot I had a slide to go with this. Is this on? Maybe. All right, James 4. If Jamie can help me with that up there, maybe. James 4, verse 4. In chapter 4, verse 4. Thank you, Jamie. James is writing, and he says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be the world's friend becomes God's enemy." Now, my mother loved me. She loved me unconditionally. She loved me. There's no shadow of a doubt in my mind. Today, maybe on that day there was, but today I of course know that she loved me. But we were enemies on this issue. And we were actually enemies on this issue because she loved me. Now there are things that are going on in our world today that I think are very, very important. And I don't think that we have time any longer to dabble with friendship with the world. And you need to know that God loves you so much that he is going to be your enemy if you continue to dabble in friendship with the world. He loves you so much, so unconditionally, he will oppose you as you strive to maybe be friends with the world and to live by the world's systems and in the world's ways. Now let me explain. Is that my mic or is that another mic? I'm sorry. All right. In 1936, President Franklin Roosevelt, he stood before the Democratic National Convention, and he shared his speech, his acceptance speech, of their nomination to run as president. Now, don't be upset with me because I'm quoting a Democrat, all right? I hope we're okay with that today, all right? But he said something that I believe he had no idea how long those words would have a ripple effect into history and how long they would inspire people. And here's the quote. He said, "There's a mysterious cycle in human events. To some generations, much is given. Of other generations, much is expected. This generation of Americans has a rendezvous with destiny." Now, how many of you have heard that quote before or parts of it? A few. Okay, good. Maybe it's a Roosevelt thing. I don't know. I'm sorry. President Roosevelt stood before the country or stood before his party, and he had a keen awareness of what was going on in Europe and the threat that was posed and coming towards America. He knew that. He talks about this cycle. "I feel like we're living in a unique time in our country when we're seeing the fruit of seeds that were planted long ago. Number one, the seeds of doubting God's authority. The seeds of rebellion for God's authority. Those seeds were planted long ago, and now we are seeing the fruit. We're seeing them bear fruit. This whole issue that goes on in our country, this whole issue of the marriage and the Supreme Court decision that came down, it really is an authority issue." I love what Franklin Graham said. He said, "How can the court redefine marriage? They didn't define it." I thought that was awesome. I wish I'd come up with that. I'll just share it. So we're seeing the fruit of these seeds that were planted long ago. It's not only the seeds of rebellion to God's authority, but it's the seed of doubt of God's character and his goodness. Those seeds were planted long ago, and now it's bearing fruit. People don't really think God is for them. People don't really think God loves them unconditionally and God wants the best for them. And those seeds have borne fruit. I also believe that today we're witnessing something in our culture, the death of cultural Christianity. The death of cultural Christianity. Now, what do I mean by cultural Christianity? By this phrase, I mean in a culture where it is to an individual's advantage to align with Christ and his church. Where it's to your advantage to say, I'm a follower of Jesus, within the culture at large. It's this type of a culture where people come to believe that if you live by the principles of God's word, your life will go well. And so people are happy to align themselves with Christ or his church or his people. Because after all, if I do A plus B, then I'll get this. I'll get C. If I live by this formula in God's word, then everything's going to go smooth. My kids will grow up well. We'll have all the finances we need. Everybody stays healthy. There may be a few bumps in the roads, but by and large, if we live by this book, everything's going to go fine. However, I think if an honest reading of Scripture, if we honestly read through Scripture, we see that this was not the case in the early church. Those who placed their faith in Christ and followed him did not experience a better life because of it. The first 300 years of the church, the majority of those who accepted the message and identified themselves as Christ followers suffered greatly. But it's also in those first 300 years when the movement was chaotic and out of control and expanding like crazy. It was a movement. It was uncontrollable. How in the world in 300 years did it go from 12 men to then becoming the official religion of the Roman Empire? They suffered greatly. I believe we've been fortunate enough in the past to have lived in one of those mysterious cycles, as President Roosevelt called it, and now we are experiencing the death of that cycle and we are grieving. I believe we've been in a cycle where much has been given. He said that there's a cycle, a mysterious cycle in human events. To some generations, much is given. I believe I've been given much because of what previous generations have gone through and what they've fought for. But I think we're experiencing the death of one of these cycles. One of these cycles shifting. I don't know about you, but I have grieved. I have grieved over the last few weeks. My heart's been heavy. I grieve what I see and hear on social media. I grieve what I hear and see in the local, or in the national media and the news. The conversations I hear in coffee shops. I just feel heavy at times. I don't know if anybody felt heavy the last few weeks. So we feel grieved. We do feel disappointed at the decision that came down, and that's okay. But I also have been reminded that this is still God's story. This is still God's story. We are all still actors in his drama. We are still on his stage. He is still sovereign and in control. And this has caused me to turn and change my attitude and become a little bit different. I began to glorify God. I think God wants us to move from grieving to glorifying. And how do we do that? I think that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. We come together as brothers and sisters and we sing praises. We invite his Spirit. Maybe in the morning you put on headphones and you just start to sing praises. And you remember promises that he has said. And you remember, hey, he is still sovereign. Yes, it's American history, but it's American his story. It's his story. He is still at work. He is still sovereign. Let the Spirit move you from grieving to glorifying. So I hope in some ways this message is encouraging to you, because there's a verse in Romans 8. Sorry, I'm going to have to ask Jamie to help me again. There's a verse in Romans 8 that caused me to have great encouragement this past week. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. You see, I believe we're in one of those cycles shifting. And it could be that we begin to see great God-glorifying events take place in our culture. Much like we see in the book, or we read in the book of Acts. I believe the days are that dark. I believe we're living in days that are that dark. And yes, we could grieve, and we could mourn, and we could lament the death of that, and we could say, woe is us. Christian America seems to be passing away. We could be upset by that. But what if we turn to glorifying? What if we say, in all circumstances, God, I will glorify you no matter where I'm at? I believe we would then see great God-glorifying events take place through His Spirit at work in us, and through His Spirit reaching out to those who need to know Him, and through His Spirit moving in a mighty and powerful way, much like we saw in the book of, or read about in the book of Acts. I was on the phone with a church member earlier this week, and they shared with me, this decision that the Supreme Court came down with is bad for America. I believe that. I agree with that. I really do. And I shared with him, yes, it's bad for America, but it could be good for America. Whoa, wait a minute. How many of you did I lose right there? Wait, what do you mean? It's bad for America, but it could be good for the church in America? It really could be, because it could spur us on to standing up. It could spur us on to passionate faith. It could actually, all of this could spur us on to quit playing friends with the world. The days are so dark, we don't have time to dabble with friendship with the world any longer. As we seek to glorify God in these difficult days, our faith will shine. Those who do not have faith in Christ will take notice. Some of those who notice will be attracted. They'll be attracted to us because they take notice of what's different in us. We are salt and light. We're going to live that way whether the days are dark or not. We're going to live that way whether a Supreme Court says something or not. We're going to live that way whether who we want to be president is that or not. We're still going to live that way. We're going to live in faith, and we're going to shine. We will. Now, I'm not saying don't be political. I'm not saying don't get involved in the fray. I'm not saying don't give your opinion, and I'm certainly not saying don't share with people that you disagree with their beliefs. I'm not saying that. I'm saying share. I'm saying speak truthfully. I'm saying live faithfully and glorify God, and you will shine. You see, some of those who notice us will not be attracted. Some of them will be upset and angered by our faith, by the fact that we won't be swayed. But there will be some who will be attracted to what's different in us. And why will they be attracted? They will be attracted to us because of the emptiness of their hearts, and they will crave something true and glorious and transforming. We have the answers to their needs. You see, they want the peace and joy that the world has promised them, but that world could not deliver it to them, and it will not deliver it to them. They're looking for something that the world cannot deliver. They're looking in friendship with the world, looking for something that they desperately want and know they need inside, but the world can't deliver it. But we can. We can deliver it because we have the truth. Will we? But will we? Will we be faithful to deliver that truth when they need it? Much like we look back at President Roosevelt's words, could it be that in 50 years from now we'll look back and we'll say, look at what God did in the American church during those dark days. Look at what God did through a faithful church during those dark days in our country. Look at how He has transformed our country. Look at how many people He brought to Himself. Look at the glory that He displayed during those dark days. I hope that we do look back and say that. You know, President Roosevelt said, to some generations much was given, of others much is expected. This is what he called the mysterious cycle of human events. This phrase, as I looked at that Thursday afternoon, I began to think about this cycle that he talked about. And I thought of our founding fathers, You know, much was expected of them as a generation. They fought the most powerful country on earth. They defeated tyranny. They sacrificed and suffered so that the following generations could be given much. You see, much was expected of them, and they rose to that. Praise God. They rose to that. Christ used them. And we've been given much because they rose to that expectation. I also think of the World War II generation. This is a generation that I absolutely love, my grandfather's generation. I love to hear the stories. I love to read the books and hear the stories that they went through. This is a generation that has gotten a lot of attention in the past. Much was expected of them. It seems as if they were forged together during the difficult days of something called the Great Depression. Dark days, difficult days, but much was expected of them. This suffering, I believe, prepared them for their rendezvous with destiny. I believe we're living in a cycle shift today in America. You see, we are shifting from a cycle where much has been given, and now much is being expected. Much has been given to us because of that World War II generation, because they rose to the expectations, because of the generations like people like Billy Graham who followed faithfully. Much has been given to us. But now that cycle is shifting. Are we moving from a generation that has had much given to us to a generation that now has much expected of us? I believe so. I believe the Lord is expecting much of us today. Last night on the lawn, I had people look around because we had the kids running around. I said, look and try to find somebody who's 18 or younger. And you may struggle to do that this morning because we have Journeyland. But look around and find someone younger, maybe 20, 25 years old or younger. Look around and try to make eye contact with somebody who's younger in that 20-year-old age range. Go ahead. Feel free, look around, make eye contact with them. I ask you to do that because much is going to be expected of them. Will our generation prepare them? How God-ordained is it that just a few months ago, our church adopted the new vision to build up generations for Jesus Christ? And now we find ourselves in a cycle shift where in America, it's not, oh, much has been given to us. This is awesome. Praise God. It's now, hey, we were given much, and now much is expected of us. You see, it will be us who builds up that next generation and prepares them for what comes next. I hope we're ready for that. It is up to us to lead them during the difficult days that I hope will prepare their character to lead in the future. I go to Romans 8:31. Jamie, I'm going to ask you one more time. I'm sorry. Last time. You see, we could be grieved, but I hope we turn to glorifying rather than stay in the grieving attitude. What then are we to say about these things? I have asked myself that question over the last few weeks. Lord, what am I to say about these things? See, things that are going on in our culture, it's the elephant in the room. We come and we praise and we get a word and we study God's word, but really, what are we to do? What are we to say about these things that are happening? If God is for us, who is against us? If God is for us, it doesn't matter if others are against us. That's okay. Because God is for us. And remember, whose story is it? It's His story. And He loves to be the hero of His story. He wants to be the hero. If God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare His own Son, but offered Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. You see, it's God who justifies. God will do what He needs to do God will show up. Will we be faithful? God will show up. Will we be faithful? Will we be faithful to set aside our friendship with the world or the things that we love to just kind of toy around with? And will we be faithful to maybe turn our focus on Him and glorify Him and prepare the next generation? Will we prepare them for what comes? Goes on to say in Romans 8, because of you we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. And then he says, no, in all these things, we are more than victorious. In all these things, we are more than victorious through Him who loved us. You see, I believe our great general, Jesus Christ, is now expecting a lot of us. He has given us much. We've been given so much freedom, more freedom than any country in the world. And now He's expecting much of us. He's expecting a lot of us these days. I would say it's okay that we grieve this marriage issue. We could be disappointed and we can grieve that and we can grieve the way things are going in our culture, and that's okay. But let's turn now to glorifying God in this culture, to being those lights and to being salt in this culture. Glorify Jesus Christ no matter the situation by declaring His message, by sharing, by being faithful. I believe this is what He expects of us as He calls us victors. He calls us victorious. Now this morning, we have a wonderful opportunity, I believe, on the weekend that we celebrate independence as a country. We have a great opportunity to turn to communion. I want to ask my host team or the host teams to go ahead and head back to the back and prepare to bring the elements for communion. We have this wonderful opportunity on the weekend that we celebrate independence as a country to celebrate together as a faith family our freedom from sin, our freedom from death, our freedom from bondage, our freedom from those things that Pastor Mark called in the video announcements, habits, hurts, and hang-ups. That's from Celebrate Recovery. We get to celebrate that through communion today. We can have freedom in Christ. Now, if you've accepted that freedom in Christ and you're a professing believer in Jesus, you are welcome to participate in this communion. This doesn't have to be your home church to do that. We invite all of you, if you profess faith in Christ, we invite you to take this communion. But if you know you've been friendly with the world a little too long, you can come on out, guys. Begin to pass that out when you're ready. But if you know you've been a little too friendly with the world, you know in your heart that in these dark days, it's really time for you to set that aside. You see, there came a time when that friendship with that young lady, there was a time to just stop. We knew it wasn't going to go any farther. If I even tried to make that relationship go farther, I was going to have more opposition from my mother. It was just going to create all kinds of conflict and hurt and pain and bad stuff. Let me just tell you, as you maybe toy around with friendship with the world and the worldly systems that we live in, you know where they lead. So just use this opportunity today to just say, Lord, I am with you. I am not with the world. I am setting those things aside. So as you take these elements, do some self-examination. We're going to ask, oh, great. Brad's going to play a little bit of music if that's okay. Let me pray. Host teams, you continue to pass that out as I pray. Lord, I do pray that during this time, during these next few minutes as we celebrate communion together, you would work in people's hearts. You would help us to see, have we been too friendly with the world? Are there areas in our own lives where you are opposing us, where you are coming against us because we've been too friendly with the world? Lord, just highlight those areas in our minds and our hearts as we do some self-examination during this time. Lord, we thank you for your powerful word. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, celebrating the Last Supper with his disciples, the Passover meal. It says, and while they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them. And said, take it. This is my body. But brothers and sisters, take it. This represents the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Says in Mark 23, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, think about that, he gave thanks. He knew what was coming, and he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he gave it to them, and they all drank from it, and he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. His blood has been poured out for you and for me as he died on the cross. I'm going to say a prayer of thanks. Lord, we look to your cross and we remember what you did. We remember what you did, Lord. And we say thanks. In Jesus' name.
I don't think we've ever followed communion with the song that we're going to sing now, but I think it's appropriate on this weekend that we just remind ourselves what Pastor Coley has told us this morning. God is still sovereign. His truth is still marching on, and he's still marching on. Come what may, no matter what we down here on earth do or decide, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I said, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Hallelujah.
Soul of God is saved.
That was people who are glorifying their God. Thank you so much. Have faith as you go out into that world. Have faith. He is still marching on, and he's with you wherever you go. Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for kind of being patient with me this morning and putting up with some of the things that are on my heart. I just pray that God uses that to touch you as you go out into the world this week. Again, if you're a first-time visitor, I would love to meet you. I'll be right at the back of the sanctuary there. If you're here and you want to ask for prayer, we've got a healing prayer team back there. If these dark days are weighing you down and you can't just get out of that grief and into glorifying, they would love to pray with you. If there's physical things going on with you or someone in your family, go back to that room. Is there in the center of the room there? Let them pray with you. You can share as much or as little as you want to share about the situation. They are very happy and feel called by God to be there to pray over you and to pray with you. So, and also, I see my friend Nate back there at the Celebrate Recovery table. Check out some of the resources that are there. It could be something helpful to you or someone in your family. So check that out too. And we just thank you for being here this 4th of July weekend. Let me pray as you go. Lord, we love you, and we are so thankful that our faith is not in man-made institutions. It's not in man-made courts or anything like that, Lord. Our faith is in you, and it's so good for us to come together as a body of believers and remember that and celebrate that and remember what you've done for us. And so just use that to energize us and to hold on to your promises in your word as we go out into the world this week. Lord, take care of my brothers and sisters. Help them to glorify you wherever they find themselves this week. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. All right, have a great week. Great week.